Zion, lovely Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Certainly that home of heaven above is our destination and our goal. We long to be there. Sometimes maybe we get tired of the journey. And God is certainly aware of the fact that we can get tired in our journey. We've been studying in 1 Timothy in our adult Bible class. And we've noticed here that in verse 19, he says, "Hold faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and have made shipwreck." Hold faith and a good conscience. And you might say, well, why wouldn't you? And there's lots of reasons. There's a lot of things that as Satan walks this earth and seeks whom he may devour, and we're not ignorant of his devices. We know the trials and the tribulations that he will put before us to make us stumble. And yet we find throughout God's word that God has revealed those different devices that Satan uses. And God has encouraged us from his word that we continue to persevere. I'd like to talk to you about that this morning. To persevere means to continue in some effort, course of action, etc., in spite of difficulty or opposition and so forth. To be steadfast in purpose, to persist, to stay the course, to not veer to the right or to the left, not to quit, but to persist and to go on. To refuse to give up, especially when faced with opposition or difficulty. Continue firmly or steadily. And so in the times that we are thinking most about maybe quitting or giving up or letting down, those are the times that we need to be most dedicated to continuing on and living faithfully before God. To continue insistently, as in repeating a question. You ever had somebody repeat a question to you? Have you ever repeated a question to people because you didn't get the answer? You want the answer. To be insistent will not be moved off of your course. To continue to exist, to prevail, to endure, to remain. I think we get the picture, don't we? You're not going to quit. And God calls upon us to persevere in the faith. What are we to persevere in? Well, we're to persevere in our confidence. The confidence that we have in Christ, the confidence of our salvation, the confidence that we have in one day living in that Zion, that stronghold of God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "We are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Why were you baptized? Well, I was baptized to have my sins washed away. Are you sure that your sins were washed away when you were baptized? Yes, I'm absolutely confident. God's word says that they were. And I believe God's word. And you remember back to that time that you were baptized for the remission of your sins and the joy that you had, the hope that you had, the zeal that you had as a child of God. He says, hold on to that. Hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast all the way to the end. We are to persevere in prayer. Jesus taught us this in Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 through 7. Says he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming weary me.'" Now, God is not like this judge. God does care about us. God's not like this judge. He didn't care about this woman, didn't care about the mistreatment that she had. All he cared about was the fact she's bothering me. And she's going to keep coming back insistently. She wasn't going to quit. She was persevering. And that was the point of the parable that Jesus presented here. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't quit. Keep praying. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night unto him, though he bears long with them?" Have you ever considered the fact that when you're going through a trial or a tribulation, a difficulty in your life, when somebody's making your life miserable, that God is miserable with you? That God hates to see us going through that type of thing? All of us who are parents have seen our children go through difficult times in their life. And it hurts us to see that. In fact, sometimes we try to shield our children from those things. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a natural thing. But in spite of what we do, our children are going to experience difficulties. And when they do, we experience those difficulties with them. We hurt for them. We're concerned about them. And as children of God, God cares about us. Don't think that because the problem persists that God doesn't hear and that God is not interested or that God is not going to answer that prayer. Be confident of his teaching and be persistent in your faith and persevere in always trusting and obeying God, and he will see you through that difficulty. Colossians 4 and verse 2 simply says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." That as we're making our request to God, that we should be thanking God for the answer to our prayer before we see the answer to our prayer. Knowing that he hears us and that he answers prayer, that he cares for us, that we're not alone. And we can thank God that we have that avenue of prayer to him, that we can present our concerns to him. We can thank him for the outcome of the situation, knowing that we're going to do this and go through this to the praise and the honor and the glory of God, first and foremost, because we're going to endure this the way God teaches us to endure. We're to persevere, certainly, in our faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 22 through 23 says, "You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Think about what you were. Larry pointed out to us this morning in our adult Bible class what Paul said. I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious person. Now, I was the chiefest of sinners. Think about what you were and think about what you are now. You are unblameable, unreprovable in his sight if you persevere, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Move on from the milk of the word into the meat of the word and putting the word of God to work in your life. Persevere in your works. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it says, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable or unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Persevere. You have been doing it, continue to do it. In the darkest of days, that's when you need to let the light of Christ shine the brightest in your life. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Well, what about when I don't feel like working, let alone abounding in the work of the Lord? Those are the times that we most especially need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What's he saying? Keep on working. Keep on. Don't get weary. He's also saying, I know that you are weary. I know that you are tired. But his word and the promise and the nature of the one who's made these promises to us gives us the strength to go on and to stay strong. We are to persevere in our hope. Singing that song of, O Zion, lovely Zion. That's our hope, isn't it? When shall I dwell in you? Well, we have a hope that we will dwell there. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 10 through 12 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence in full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't quit. Keep doing what you're doing. That you don't be slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why do you continue to keep the faith? To live for the Lord, to live for Jesus. Why do you do that? Because you have full assurance of hope, of living with Him forever and ever, in the presence of God in the heavenly host. Chapter 3 of... What do I do? Guess I don't have chapter 3 and verse 6 there. Well, I can turn over to it. You're familiar with it. You know it by heart, most likely. Verse 6, it says, therefore it remains that you must enter... Well, that's chapter 4, verse 6. For Christ as a son over his own house, whose house... are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in hope firm unto the end. Hold fast, firm to the end, to this hope. Just as Moses had hope, we are to have this hope. We are to hold to righteousness. We are to persevere in the practice of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 11 through 14 says, thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Let go of the things of sin and hold on to the things of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a continual fight. That's present perfect tense. You're always fighting the fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy had, you have professed a good profession. You've professed and confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your Savior. You have professed that you will live a life of faith. When you went down in that watery grave of baptism and came up, you came up to walk in newness of life. You were professing that I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living to the praise and the glory of God to demonstrate His righteousness in my life to His glory. Keep doing that. Don't quit. I give thee charge in the sight of God who makes everything alive, and before Christ Jesus and before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold to righteousness. Don't quit. That's what he's saying to Timothy here. We are to persevere in love. In John 15 and verses 9 through 10, we read, "As the Father hath loved me," Jesus said, "so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." God is love, we're told in 1 John. It's no wonder that Jesus here is emphasizing the fact that he was abiding in the love of his Father, that he was able to do the things that he was doing because he was absolutely assured that his Father loved him. And yet, was everything just wonderful in the life of Jesus? Every place he went, everybody's, "Hey, Jesus, the Messiah, we're glad you're here." No. No, there was a few that received him. There are so many that rejected him. There were so many that were upset with him and hated him and said terrible things about him and did terrible things to him, even crying out that he be crucified. And those who did crucify him. The Father loved me. Jesus was assured of the love of the Father all the way through all of that. And he says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." He knew that his Father loved him because he knew he was doing the Father's will. Are you doing the Father's will? If not, why not? Why not get back on the right track and start doing the right thing? And stop focusing upon, woe is me, this is what's happening to me in my life. Just love God and live to his glory. In the darkest times of your life, that's when you can let the light of Christ shine brightest in your life. You need to learn to do that and persevere in it. Hebrews 13 and verse 1 simply says, "Let brotherly love continue." Love God, love each other, love your enemy. Probably one of the greatest challenges presented to us as Christians. Yet love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Where would we be if God didn't love his enemies? We'd be lost. But he acted in such a way towards his enemies so that we might be reconciled and redeemed. Are you acting that way towards your enemies? Are you trying to save your enemy? Are you trying to make your enemy your friend? It's what Jesus teaches us to do. We are to persevere in our patience. And another word for patience simply is endurance. Romans 2 and verse 7 says, "To him who by patient continuance." You want another word for perseverance? There you go. Continuance. Patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. What's the reward of patient continuance? What's the reward of perseverance? Eternal life. Can you gain eternal life without patient continuance? Can you gain eternal life without perseverance? Can you gain eternal life if you were a Christian for a period in your life but then fell away and failed to persevere? No, that's not the Word of God teaches us. Why do we have all of these passages that we've been looking at here this morning that teach us to persevere in all of these things? Why do we have them? Because God knows we can get tired. And unless we come back to His Word and the promises of His Word and continue in these things, we're going to lose the faith that He delivered to us. So here's the real question. We know that we are to persevere. The question now is, well, how can we persevere? Was Satan always trying to defeat us and overcome us? How are we going to persevere? Well, with God's help. If God's for us, who can be against us? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God not only tells us what to do, God's saying, I'm working in you. You're not alone. I'm with you. We find here in chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 13, it says, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can endure this trouble. I can endure this problem. I can overcome this financial situation that I'm in, this emotional situation that I'm in, this spiritual situation that I'm in. I can do all things through Christ. If I just stop looking at me and saying, woe is me, and start looking to Christ and what He would have me to do, I'm going to overcome. Because nothing's impossible with God. We can persevere by knowing what God wants us to do and watching in the fact that we are doing that. 2 Peter 3 and verses 17 and 18 addresses this. It says, ye therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. You have been steadfast. You have been persevering. You can fall from your steadfastness. You can stop persevering. Beware. And be led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. We talked about that last Sunday night, didn't we? What does that mean? Favor. Grow in favor with God. Well, how can I grow in faith? I thought that was all on God's part, to look down favorably upon me. How can I grow in favor? By knowing what He wants you to do and doing what He wants you to do. When we know what God wants us to do and we're doing what He wants us to do, we know He's looking favorably upon us. So grow in favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For your sake? No. To Him be glory, both now and forever. We persevere by considering Christ. Things are hard in our life, difficult in our life. Was it ever difficult for Jesus? So the Hebrew writer tells us to do, consider Him, who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus had it difficult too. And He had it difficult because of our sin. He didn't have it difficult because He had made a bad choice. You know, sometimes we have difficulties in our life because we've made a bad choice. Not always. Sometimes we have difficulties in our life because somebody else made a bad choice. Because they're not walking in the light of God. They don't care about the things of God. You can have difficulty in your life for a lot of reasons. But regardless of what the reason is, always look upon the fact, you know, Jesus went through this. If not specifically, at least in principle, He went through the same thing. Why should we persevere? Well, certainly, because if we don't persevere, we're going to fall. Luke 9, verse 62 says, Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Did Jesus mean that? Did He mean no one who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God? Are you an exception to this rule? Or is this the rule? Persevere. Because if you don't persevere, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. We are to persevere so we will receive that crown. O Zion, mighty Zion, when will I dwell in thee? In Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer." Did God know that the Christians of the first and second centuries and third centuries were going to endure great persecution? Yes. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's going to be difficult. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." Why should I persevere? I want that crown of life. Keep on remaining faithful. In chapter 3 of Revelation, in verse 11, it says, Jesus said, "I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." No one can take your crown, but you can let go of it. You can stop. You can quit. But you're not going to. You're going to persevere. To the glory of God, first and foremost. Take the focus off of yourself. Put the focus on God to live to His glory. And regardless of what man will do to you, what Satan will do to you, what anyone will do to you, regardless of what comes into your life, I'm going to hold on to the salvation that I have in Christ Jesus. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, won't you consider doing so today? I hope that you've been thinking about it, and maybe you've come to the conclusion that today is the day that I am going to begin living for the Lord. I'm going to confess Him. I'm going to obey Him in being baptized for the remission of my sins. And I'm going to rise from that watery grave of baptism, pure and clean from my sins, reconciled to God, redeemed, with the dedication and determination to live to the glory of God from this day forward by knowing what He wants me to do and always doing what He wants me to do. If you're here today and you're ready to take that most magnificent step in your life, we're ready to assist you. And if you're here today as a child of God and you realize you haven't been persevering as you should, maybe troubles have been piling up upon you, that's why we're to love one another. That's why we're to pray for one another. That's why we're to confess our faults to one another. If we can assist you in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?